If you were here last week, as I said, we were looking at the conversion of Saul, that well-known story. The church is now in this period of freedom and peace, and the threat of persecution is far less now that Saul has found Jesus. And yet, despite this peace, the church still has its enemies. The church is thriving and it's growing, but the thing that hasn't changed is there's still sickness and there's still death. And for us, before I even get into the theme this morning, I think that's just a helpful reminder for each of us here in this church that we haven't yet arrived. What do I mean by that? I mean, this world that we live in is not our home. Sickness, worry, trouble are still going to be a reality. And it feels at times, certainly from people that I meet, that we move, or people move from one issue to the next and then to the next. And yet, what I'd like to say this morning at the beginning is remember that God is not absent, folks. For some of you, you just need to hear that this morning. You don't need to hear anything else. Know that God is not absent, that He's with you. And in the midst of what at times can seem like really tough situations, we have Jesus who raises our hopes and allows us to lift our heads even when things are hard. He declares that in this world, yes, we're going to have trouble, but remember, He has overcome the world. This world is not our home. We're simply passing through. Marianne, this morning we were just chatting, and actually she just happened to mention that someone had spoken this week about it almost being the transition from one to the next is a hiccup, which I think is a lovely way of just thinking of that, and we move. But this world is not ours. But God can use us in an incredible way in a broken world. Today I want us to think about the amazing stuff that God is doing. We see it in many different situations in our own church and in other churches. He's bringing healing into our community in different ways. He's encouraging us to become more involved in the mission, to open those doors and get out, whether it's 400 pancakes on a Tuesday morning, whatever it is, to get out there and tell people about Jesus. But also, He's wanting to do an amazing thing in each one of us as we change our attitude towards Him. Now, I am confident in declaring that God is not dead in our community. Yes, at times, with all of the issues, whether that's antisocial behavior, whether it's the facilities that we don't have for our young people in the town, or the rise of poverty, whatever the issues are, remember that God is at work. And why? Because He loves His people that He has made. He loves you. You know, the early church that we read about cared for people. Even though we sometimes, and the bigger churches, I suppose, focus on the number game, even though Acts at times we focus on, oh, it was the thousands that came that day to Jesus. Whilst it's about those things, today I want us to think about this passage where it starts to focus in on individuals. And why? To show that God loves individuals. God sends Peter to Lydda, and Lydda was, I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right, but it's 25 miles northwest of Jerusalem. It's a crossroads town where the road that led from Egypt to Syria intersects with the road that leads from Joppa to Jerusalem. But what's distinct about this for this story is that it's mainly populated with Gentiles. And we're going to come back to that later on. But what we see through this is that God, through that town, does something amazing with Peter. And so what is most striking about this passage, though, is that there's an impact that God wants to make on the individual. God loves individuals. In a world that identifies each one of us by numbers and references and stuff like that, it's good to know that we're more than that to Him. In Isaiah 43, it's a passage I would read often to people if I'm visiting. God says this to His people. I love these words. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. That's how much he cares for you. If today that's all you need to hear, folks, then go with that. He loves you. He cares for you. Now, I bet you right now, Alan, you'll find with this place we become a wee bit interactive. I bet you if I was to ask you right now to call out your national insurance number, you'll be able to do it. Come on, NX076621D. There, they've started. You see that? Isn't that incredible? You see, each one of us is a number on a government computer system. Your personal data is stored in many different places, but all of those organizations that hold that data, frankly, all you are is a line of data. That's all you are. Have you ever noticed that whenever I phone the bank or phone about a mortgage, they're interested more in the reference number than actually my name. My name doesn't seem to matter. And if I don't remember my reference number, then they fire, like, it's like the Spanish Inquisition. They fire these questions at me to make sure I am who I am. God doesn't think of you as a number. Have you noticed that in our reading today, it's filled with people? There is Aeneas, there's Tabitha, and there's Peter. Jesus, throughout his life, is caught up with individuals. Whenever he died on the cross and whenever he rose again, he died for individuals. He died for Jenny. He died for David. He died for Stephen. He died for you and me. He is interested in individuals. You see, Satan wants us to panic in the busyness of life, especially with Johnny, in busyness. And yet, the strategy that God has is about one-to-one, because he knows that as one person truly discovers his love for them, what are they going to do? They're going to tell another person. Today, folks, he's interested in you. He's interested today in your worry. He's interested in your life. He's interested in your hopes and your dreams. And do not allow Satan to make you think that you are useless. You are cherished and you are loved by God. And here in our story is this picture of healing. And we see how care is focused on one person, not the crowd. Aeneas had been confined to his bed for 8 years. It's really hard to actually, just don't even think about 2,000 years ago. Think about today. Someone confined to their bed for 8 years, that loneliness that they experienced. Peter's visit alone would have been a tremendous encouragement to Aeneas. I wonder today if you ever thought of the incredible impact that you could make by visiting one person, for that one person to know that they're valued by God. You know, I was in a house a few weeks ago of a parishioner of here, and she is in her bed 24 hours a day. Now, her bed faces a wall. So her bed, as she looks every day, all she sees is a picture on the wall. That's all she sees, apart from the carers who come in and give her food and change her. Just a strange thing, at the back of her head, and I don't know why this was done by the health service, but at the back of her head is the window. Okay, and I was in the house, and we were chatting, and as I was leaning over the bed, I looked out, and from the view, I could see up the Hillhead Road, yeah? And you know that house that's being built up on the Hillhead Road, the one that's just sitting on the top? I could see that house, and yet this woman, 24 hours a day, is staring at a wall. Those of us who have the energy this morning to come out to church can so often take for granted the blessings that come from that. And Peter, through the healing of Jesus, gives this man hope. He is healed, not just instantaneously, but notice what Peter asks him to do. He says, see that mat? Roll that mat up. Why? Because it was to declare to that man that his healing was complete, but also to tell him, you're not going to need that ever again. It's done. This story, folks, is not just a story of healing. This is a story of a God who, in the midst of thousands, heals one man. He knew his need. He met his need. Today, folks, be confident that in our community, in this church family, maybe for you today, God knows your need and he wants to bring you healing. And I'd encourage you to hear those words. And if that's you, go and speak to one of our prayer ministry team at the end and receive the acknowledgement and the hope that God wants to give you today. If someone today needs to know anything about tough times, then listen to these words from Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The very, Matthew 10, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Remember today, you're not just one in the crowd, you're cherished. And then if the church is going to be what God wants it to be, we have to have a heart for individuals. But we also have to have a heart for the care that we want to give them. You know, our core value says that we have a pastoral heart as a church. And the only way this works is when we deal with the person one-to-one. So let's not get caught up in thinking about the mammoth task of the town if we're not going to start with the individual. The next thing I want you to consider today is Tabitha. You might have not picked this up from the reading, and I didn't until I read a few books on it, but Tabitha was a disciple. Do you know that this is actually the only place in the New Testament where the word is used in the feminine form, the disciple word? It's feminine. It's the only place. But Luke here wants to recognize her as a servant of God who used her spiritual gifts because she had a heart for the poor and for the neglected widows. And so these grieving women gather around wearing the very garments that she, with love and skill, had woven for their covering. They stood as this mute testament to the change that Jesus had already brought in her life as her selfless works testified about the faith of God. Only two Thursdays ago, I had the privilege to worship alongside a large number of people, thanking God for a wonderful woman who I would describe as another Tabitha. Not only was she a committed disciple of God, pointing many people to Jesus, but she was a woman of prayer who interceded for many over the years. In fact, while I was standing with her at her hospital bed, she was praying for the people around her. And like Tabitha, this woman had the amazing skill of dressmaking and needlework. In fact, in the very church that we worshipped, there were many examples around the walls of her ministry, which I have no idea about. I have no idea how that all happens, but it is amazing. The church today needs Tabithas because our ministry is a ministry that helps. How will you be used to minister to others? Recently, I've been encouraging all of you to look at the little deeds that you can get involved in within the ministry life of this church. And so to help you today, I have left on your pew a paperclip. Now, for those that were here early, they'll have noticed it. But do any of you notice the paperclip? Kids stole one. Do you know something, folks? That paperclip is so insignificant. In fact, it's so insignificant that those that came in a wee bit later, you wouldn't have even noticed that it was in your pew. But the value of the clip is not in the amount of wire in it. It's actually in how useful it becomes whenever you take this little bit of wire and you mold it and you shape it into this. You see, the clip is not flashy, but it is of great use. And for us, the church, it's not about having flashy people. It's not about having a flashy drum kit or lights or whatever it might be or a place pack. That's not what it's about. It's about having people who are willing, like that paperclip, to be shaped and molded by God. I'm sure that Tabitha could have used her skills to make a good living for herself, but she chose to use it to help the poor. She invested in the widows. Please take that little paperclip home with you to remind you that the church is not looking for the big flashy stuff. God is looking for servants who are focused not on their own ego, but on how they can be humble and be used to bless others. Are you, so I'm not now talking about the person beside you, are you serving today in this church? And if not, why not? Tabitha was surrounded by many widows who she had blessed and pointed to Jesus. When it comes to the day when someone is giving the story of your life, and I have to do it from time to time and stand at a funeral service, what is the story that someone is going to say? Were you willing to be molded and shaped to serve God wherever he wanted you? Or will you simply say, oh, I was too busy. I want to take this opportunity, however, to thank you and this church community that whenever one person suffers in this church community, everyone gathers and everyone supports. So thank you. So God wants to do a healing work in each person. He wants to know you by name. He does know you by name. God encourages us to help others. And then finally, we have to recognize that God wants to do something in us. Now, chapter 9 here finishes. And we don't really hear anything more about Aeneas nor Tabitha or the fact of the matter, what happened in the healing, because the healing took place, but a bit like Lazarus, eventually they die. That's the reality of physical death. But actually, there's change taking place that I suspect many of us have not seen in this passage, and that's in Peter. It's a significant one, even though we might lose it in verse 43, which is, in some way, it's a throwaway verse. But Luke put it there for a reason, and it's significant. Let me just read that verse to you. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Passes by and, yeah, stayed for a few nights. Great, super. We all know the incredible hospitality that the book of Acts talks about. We see it all over the place. It's often talked about. And here we see Simon the tanner opening his house, being a friendly guy. But our understanding of the significance of hospitality is clouded by the fact that we don't understand first century Palestine. The fact is that the religious teachers considered tanning to be an unclean trade. Tanners worked with dead animals in a smelly, unsanitary environment, and their contact with these animals rendered them ceremonially unclean. Peter, however, was a devout Jew. So the idea of staying with such a person would be a bit like this, and I'm putting it into very much today's context. It's like me deciding today to put on a Man United top, to fly over to Old Trafford and sit in that crowd and cheer with all my life. It really is going to sicken me to the pit of my stomach as a Man City supporter. It's totally against my values. Yet Peter did something that was so against his values. You see, God was beginning to do a change in Peter's attitudes towards outsiders, towards Gentiles, towards those whom he would have considered as unclean and outcasts. We could say that in one sense, in comparison to the healing that took place and the raising of someone from the dead, there was nothing all that miraculous or spectacular about Peter's change. But remember this, and we're in chapter 9. If God is going to do a work among the Gentiles, he's going to have leaders that are willing to accept that these Gentiles are individuals and that they're loved by God. Christ died for them. I want you to hold on to that thought as we move into Acts 10. I wasn't going to say this today, but I feel strongly enough to say it. A few people in Christchurch, you could hear them going, uh-oh, what's coming now? We in our community have to accept that God loves everyone. I was at a meeting of church leaders two Wednesdays ago in which we were talking about what we would be doing at Easter. And one of the things that's been on my heart is to do a walk of faith through the town so that people know that we stand for our faith, especially on Good Friday. It was going to be at 12 o'clock. And I mentioned it to the guys, and one of the things I said was, and what we'll do is we'll meet and then we can carry a cross, stop at different points and pray and to sing. Simple as that. No parades commission, none of that stuff, just up the streets, that as easy as that. And someone said to me, I'm okay with walking through the streets, but carrying a cross? Don't get that. So I quizzed them. I said, What is it that's the problem with carrying a cross on Good Friday? It's very Catholic. Very, very Catholic thing to do, Johnny. A cross is Catholic. Yeah. So, and I walked away from it, and I was upset because, folks, here's Peter. We've got to get beyond these. Got to get beyond these things. We've got to be united, united in Christ. We're a united parish. We're not just united because we're united because we love each other. It's because we love Jesus and we want his name proclaimed. So there's lots for all of us today. Today, God wants us to speak to each one of us. But in particular, for some of you, I feel that maybe you're in a low place today. And God today wants you to know that he's here for you. He knows you by name. He loves you. He cherishes you as his child. And he wants to bring healing to your body, to your mind, and your spirit. So come today and receive his love. The prayer ministry team meet down in the back corner. Today, God is speaking to some of you because he's calling you to service. Tabitha's desire to serve came from a heart that knew she was so deeply loved that it resulted then in an outpouring of ministry. Today, ask God to reveal again his love to you, and then reflecting on what he's done for you, ask yourself the question, what am I doing? Am I just so busy with the kids and everything else that I don't have time for anything? Finally, for some of you, today you realize that God is wanting to do something in you. For me today, that's what God's saying to me. God is saying, you have a problem, Johnny, with busyness. You have a problem with just running around and it's all that. And God wants to do something in me. So what is God doing in you? You realize that there's maybe a prejudice stored up inside. There's a reservation. Or maybe even the sin, as I say, of busyness in your life that causes you the barrier of what God truly wants to do in you. Are you really open to what God wants to do through you? Or is there something stopping you today? Bring this to God right now and be released for the exciting opportunities that God has planned for you. Remember what he did with Peter. He's going to change him for such amazing work of the growth of the kingdom of God.